Buster's escape was less complicated than a trip to the grocery. They waited until the next morning, until breakfast was over and most of the inmates were busy with their menial jobs. Yarber and Beach were on the track, walking an eighth of a mile apart, so that one was always watching the prison while the other watched the woods in the distance. Spicer loitered near the basketball court, on the lookout for guards. With no fences or towers or pressing security concerns, guards were not that critical at Trumbull. Spicer saw none. Buster was lost in the whining noise of his weed eater, which he slowly worked toward the track. He took a break to wipe his face and look around. Spicer, from 50 yards away, heard the engine die. He turned and quickly gave a thumbs up, the sign to do it quickly. Buster stepped onto the track, caught up with Yarber, and for a few steps, they walked together. "Are you sure you want to do this?" Yarber asked. "Yes, I'm positive." The kid appeared calm and ready. "Then do it now. Pace yourself. Be cool." "Thanks, Finn. Don't get caught, son." "No way." At the turn, Buster kept walking off the track, across the freshly cut grass, 100 yards to some brush, then he was gone. Beach and Yarber saw him go, then turned to watch the prison. Spicer was calmly walking toward them. There was no sign of alarm around the courtyards or dorms or any of the other buildings on the prison grounds. Not a guard in sight. They walked 3 miles, 12 laps, at the leisurely pace of 15 minutes per mile, and when they'd had enough, they retired to the coolness of the chamber to relax and listen for news of the escape. It would be hours before they heard a word. Buster's pace was much faster. Once into the woods, he began to jog without looking back. Watching the sun, he moved due south for half an hour. The woods were not thick, the undergrowth was thin and did not slow him. He passed a deer stand 20 feet up in an oak tree, and soon found a trail that ran to the southwest. In his left front pants pocket, he had $2,000 cash, given to him by Finn Yarber. In his other front pocket, he had a map Beach had drawn by hand. And in his rear pocket, he had a yellow envelope, addressed to a man named Al Conyers in Chevy Chase, Maryland. All three were important, but the envelope had received the most attention from the brethren. After an hour, he stopped to rest and to listen. Highway 30 was his first landmark. It ran east and west, and Beach figured he would find it within 2 hours. He heard nothing and started running again. He had to pace himself. There was a chance his absence would be noticed just after lunch, when the guards sometimes walked the grounds in a very casual inspection. If one of them thought to look for Buster, then other questions might follow. But after 2 weeks of watching the guards, neither Buster nor any of the brethren thought this was a possibility. So he had at least 4 hours. And probably a lot more, because his workday ended at 5 when he turned in his weed eater. When he didn't show, they'd start looking around the prison. After 2 hours of that, they'd notify the surrounding police agencies that another one had walked away from Trumbull. They were never armed and dangerous, and no one got too excited. No search parties, no bloodhounds, no helicopters hovering over the woods. The county sheriff and his deputies would patrol the main roads and warn the citizens to lock their doors. The escapee's name went into a national computer. They watched his home and watched his girlfriend, and they waited for him to do something stupid. After 90 minutes of freedom, Buster stopped for a moment and heard the whine of an 18-wheeler not far away. The woods stopped abruptly at a right-of-way ditch, and there was the highway. According to Beach's map, the nearest town was several miles to the west. The plan was to hike along the highway, dodging traffic by using ditches and bridges, until civilization in some form was found. Buster wore the standard prison issue of khaki pants and an olive-colored short-sleeve shirt, both darkened with sweat. The locals knew what the prisoners wore, And if he were spotted walking down Highway 30, someone would call the sheriff. Get to town, Beach and Spicer had told him, and find different clothes. Then pay cash for a bus ticket, and never stop running. It took him 3 hours of ducking behind trees and jumping over roadside ditches before he saw the first buildings. He moved away from the highway and cut through a hayfield. A dog growled at him as he stepped onto a street lined with house trailers. Behind one of them, he noticed a clothesline with someone's laundry hanging in the windless air. He took a red and white pullover and threw away his olive shirt. Downtown was nothing more than two blocks of stores, a couple of gas stations, a bank, some sort of town hall, and a post office. He bought denim shorts, a t-shirt, and a pair of boots at a discount store, and changed in the employee restroom. He found the post office inside the town hall. He smiled and thanked his friends at Trumbull as he dropped their precious envelope into the out-of-town slot. Buster caught a bus to Gainesville, where he purchased for $480 the right to ride a bus anywhere in the United States for 60 days. He headed west. He wanted to get lost in Mexico.